This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harrell.
Well, welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harrell. So glad to be with you once again. In 7 years of doing this program, I can't think of one guest that I enjoy having on the program more than the person we're going to talk to tonight, and that is the legendary Brad Steiger. And we don't throw that word around lightly, but certainly in as paranormal authors go, he certainly fits the criteria. For 5 decades, he has been devoted to exploring and examining unusual, secret, and otherwise strange occurrences. Brad has written more than 2,000 articles with paranormal themes, and he's author or co-author of more than 170 titles. Things such as Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, and Haunted Places, Real Alien Space Beings and Creatures from the Other Worlds. We could take up the whole 30 or 40 minutes we're going to have here by just reading those titles. So we'll not do that. And also, I should say, the book we're going to talk about tonight is also co-written by his wife, Sherry Steiger. And the book we're going to talk about is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. This is the second edition. And when they say complete, they mean complete. This is an encyclopedia of conspiracies and secret societies. Brad Steiger, so honored to have you back on the program again.
Well, I'm pleased to be back with you. Always enjoy being on your program, Jim.
Well,
you are an interviewer who knows his subject, and you are always prepared, and I like that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I want to ask you, because I've kind of struggled with this myself. I have a Plus Club where I just in the last year or so have introduced a show that I do periodically on conspiracies, and I've gotten some pushback from some of my audience saying, hey, the conspiracy stuff, they're, you know, tinfoil hat wearing people. Have you seen the same kind of pushback when you deal with conspiracies? People have kind of taken that phrase conspiracy theory and kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater?
Well, fortunately, we don't get that because we have no agenda. This is really, as you say, more like an encyclopedia. And our editor was so strict, if we even seemed to be favoring a point of view, he jumped right on us. This is, I'm a history buff, mm-hmm. and we're both conspiracy buffs. We collected them for years because they're fascinating. But when we deal with a conspiracy, we just state the facts. We define it, what it is. And as you noticed, Jim, in several entries, we have both the pro and the con. And we'll even set it up like a dialogue. We'll sure. have conspiracy theorist said this, the government or whomever says this, and we go right down the line sometimes for several pages, just exhausting all the statements, all the fears, all the conspiracies that have been stated. However, the just enough things happen
exactly
so that some conspiracies turn out to be real. You know, when the government does things like secret experiments on its citizens, like putting a tube of various gases in subways and spraying gas over various cities, which they have acknowledged when pressure came on from Congress or whatever, it's just enough. And when at the end of last year, President Obama authorized that particular act that seemingly, if it's exploited to its limits, basically says, you know, any citizen that causes any disruption at all can be arrested, and there doesn't have to be explanation necessarily. Those things are just enough to feed conspiracy theorists, because in a conspiracy theory, nothing happens by accident. Nothing is as it seems. And so the conspiracy theorist, you know, seeks an answer, seeks a reason. And sometimes, you know, the answer seems kind of far out to some people. Sometimes it seems a little paranoid. But as the old saying goes, you know, if they're really out to get you, then you aren't paranoid. I mean, they may really be out to get you. So, in essence, then, we deal strictly with the historical, and we treat it with a journalistic passion.
Well, you know, I'm taking a look at this thing. So you have things like the Bohemian Grove, which is a fascinating case, Manchurian Candidate. I'm just flipping through everything from A to Z, literally. The Oklahoma City bombing, of course, the Philadelphia experiment. We've talked about that a little bit before. Suppressed medical cures. I mean, I'm just flipping through. So there's really, if you are interested in conspiracies, this is one volume you have to have on your shelf, because you think of a conspiracy, it's pretty much in this book. Now, let me ask you, Red Steiger, why do we find conspiracy theory so compelling? Because I know it's kind of like, I think you talked about the peek behind the curtain. Why does it grip us so?
It grips us so because we want explanations. We have seen enough to know that things are happening beyond our view. That curtain is in the way. Growing up in World War II, as a lad, we could not conceive of the government deceiving us or the government lying to us. And I remember bringing my dime to school once a week to buy war bond stamps. I remember the movie theater stopping between features and passing the milk container in which we put our dimes or quarters or whatever. We did not, when this war broke out, the government didn't want to be in it. Let's be honest.
Right.
But we watched Europe on fire. We watched our eternal allies, the Brits, take a horrible beating with the Blitz. And we said, we're not involved. Now, we have to remember, we're a nation of immigrants. We left the turmoils and the hassles of Europe, and a lot of people still have stinging memories of that. In the World War I, we'll go back there. We didn't want to get involved at all. When we finally sent an expeditionary force over to Europe, that's what we called it, an expeditionary force, our troops went over with little training at all. It's because they finally said, well, we better go help them, and they went over and essentially got slaughtered in the ditch, in the trenches. My uncle came back with his lungs completely burned out from the gas. He had been a boxer before the war, and that profession was denied him because his lungs were gone. He had inhaled the gas. When World War II broke out, we said the same thing. Let them settle it. We don't want anything to do with it. Even when we saw the refugees, Congress voted against giving the refugees aid. That's why conspiracy really starts moving now for the Americans in the middle class when Pearl Harbor occurred. It's ready-made for conspiracy. We didn't want to enter the war, but then there was the attack. So from this time on, and it will probably go on forever, the conspiracy that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, allowed the attack to occur because he wanted to go to the aid of Europe. He wanted to go against the Nazis. Well, now the Japanese gave the attack with this, or gave him a reason for this sneak attack. And then the government, all of us, the citizens, were aroused. We were attacked. Thousands of lives. Our fleet was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into it then, everybody. It wasn't as the war in Iraq, where we were told by a president to go out and shop. We were told we're all going to have to tighten the belt. We're all going to have to endure rationing. We're all going to have to endure the fact that cars, we couldn't drive more than 35 miles an hour because we were conserving gas. We were all involved in the war. Well, then our uncles and fathers and brothers came back and started telling us the horrible things that maybe we were involved in it. We were not involved in horrible things. We're always the good guys. So World War II, we learned that maybe we weren't always told the truth. Then we have Korea, and then the Vietnam War, which split our nation in half. We've never healed from that. We are now, because of distrust of the government, some outrageous conspiracy theories out there, we're at a point where we are, some have said, and I tend to agree when I survey the divisiveness in this nation, we're almost as separated as we were at the time of the Civil War. Yeah, and so conspiracies now, we get flooded every day. Sherry and I are flooded every day with conspiracy theories.
It's a good point, and I think you have that kind of cluster of events from the 60s. You have the assassinations. You have the Vietnam War. And then just to follow up as a chaser, you have Watergate. And boy, that's a cocktail of distrust if I've ever seen one.
Right. So we really, right now, we've had a perfect storm of events leading up to where we are today, where, you know, people are seeing conspiracies everywhere. We didn't really develop the idea of a global conspiracy, you know, until 700 years ago or so. And after the French Revolution, with the Jacobins, they figured now it must have been the Bavarian Illuminati that set Pete Frenchman against Frenchman, because that's a united nation. But, oh, no, I mean, what about the aristocracy there? And what about that? That's when we began kind of as a global people. But before that, you know, in the Middle Ages, people didn't worry about conspiracies because they knew who the bad guys were, you know. they knew who were controlling their lives. They knew that who was keeping them in serfdom and so forth. But as we progressed in our civilization and became more sophisticated, then we started looking back to ancient times. Well, there must be an ancient society that is setting this off. Now, there had been an Illuminati in Spain, but that was a society of monks. The Bavarian Illuminati, of course, that began about the time of the French Revolution, and they now have this incredible position, although what we know historically about the Illuminati is that it was banished shortly after its birth. But the Illuminati stay alive as this great secret organization with tentacles reaching out, wanting to destroy the average person, the average citizen, to completely eliminate the population so it's down to about 10%, and then they will be the serfs once again to those who are the masters.
Well, there is a lot of fascinating topics that we're going to talk about, and in this book, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, we'll be back with Brad Steiger right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Hey, everybody. It's a great time to become a part of my Plus Club. Just got the full archive of all the classic Paranormal Podcast and Campfire shows up over there at jimherold.net. Plus, we have the 130 plus exclusive shows. And if you add it all together, I think it works out to be over 470 shows. So we're really, really excited about it, and we hope that you check it out, so much so that I've extended a offer that I had put out a couple of weeks back. This is for folks who join up via our yearly plan. You join up via our yearly plan. If you're in the U.S., you can get a $10 Amazon gift card or a free Kindle copy of my book. It's absolutely your choice. If you're international, we have an alternate plan, and we can discuss that offline. You can always contact me at jim@jimherold.net. So get this. You sign up for the Plus Club, you have instantaneous access to about 470 episodes. Again, over 130 of those have never been a part of the free sign. You get paranormal courses just tonight, July 9th, as I'm taping this. We'll be wrapping up our ghost hunting class with Teresa Argy. That's a three-parter. It'll all be archived, so if you happen to listen to this after that, don't worry. You can go back if you're a member and watch it. And then also, we have with Psychic Carol Obley, we have a legacy class. You can go back and watch the three parts of that. And then we have more courses coming up. One of the subjects that we're looking forward to is tarot. So I got to tell you, it is a great time to get into the Plus Club. You can do the yearly deal through the end of July. That deal is going to expire July 31st, so be sure to sign up before then if you want to try the yearly and, again, get that special offer. And if you say, hey, I just want to try it for a month or two and see what I think, there's a very economical monthly plan over there as well at jimherold.net. You just click on the little green button on the left-hand side of the page, and you'll get all the details. Please check it out, jimherold.net. If you love paranormal content, you need to be there. JimHerald.net.
Can't get enough paranormal content? Sign up for monthly webinars, newsletters, and more shows. Join the Paranormal Plus Club at JimHerald.net. Now back to the Paranormal Podcast.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest tonight is the great Brad Steiger. His book that he has co-authored with his wife, Sherry Steiger, is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. It's a second edition, and I should say this is one of his over 170 books, but it's the one that we're talking about tonight and having a great time doing it. One thing, Brad, that has always fascinated me my whole life has been this series of political assassinations in 1960s America. And I know we could pick any of them. You could talk about the Kennedys or MLK or Malcolm X and, you know, do easily hours and hours of TV, radio, podcast, whatever on any one of those. But I would like to talk about them more globally. In any of your studies, did you see any common threads where there may have been, because it was almost like a leader would pop up in the 60s and you could almost say, well, they're not going to be around long. Any common thread between the assassinations? Any thought out there that they may have all been somehow connected?
Well, conspiracy theorists, again, believe that this is part of the New World Order. It's part of the Illuminati, and sometimes they're synonymous, and sometimes there's a distinction made. But the distinction is really kind of fuzzy in our opinion. But we do speak of them separately, so let's just take the Illuminati then. The idea that the Rothschilds, the bankers of the world, are united in this conspiracy against all their borrowers and lenders and taking control so that anyone who speaks out of that, against that, and away from that, must be removed. Now, it's interesting because I was in a foreign land when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And the uproar there, I was happening to do a promotional tour. And, you know, all you Americans, you're all cowboys and you lynch people and you kill people. You think, no, that is not really the American way. And I didn't bring up this great world conspiracy, but many, when certain speeches are quoted by leaders, there seems to be the suggestion that we must beware. I mean, we've had some of our great presidents and Wilson and Lincoln and other people seem to be, on retrospect, re-examining their speeches. There seems to be, and just enough for conspiracy theorists to point out, there seems to be the suggestion or the knowledge that the world is controlled by a mere handful, so to speak, of Illuminati, or those in control, the masters, some call them. Some call the Committee of 300 that is working always against us. And anyone that begins to speak out or seems to display leadership qualities where he might be able to rally people to the point where he or she could tell them the truth, then he must be eliminated. He must be assassinated. And as Robert Kennedy said shortly before he was assassinated, and this was kind of a pre-shadowing. He said during one interview when he was asked if he was worried about being assassinated as his brother John was, he shrugged and said, "I've got to do what I think is right, and if they want to get you, they'll get you." And that was only like 2 weeks before he was assassinated, almost like a foreshadowing. And then I've been fascinated by Sirhan Sirhan ever since
yes,
the assassination.
Yes, very strange story.
And that, when you go into it, and again, in Israel, went very near, or in the Mideast, I should say, went very near the village where he was born. And this is largely a Christian area. And he was a Christian, Arab Christian. But then he was fascinated with the occult. Now, we bring in the occult in the book many times because there seems to be a strange kind of marriage between the occult and the conspiracies in many cases. So he went into Madame Blavatsky, which was the first book he asked for when he was imprisoned. He began to speak and sounding like the Manchurian candidate. Now that word, yes, we should explain that term for those who may not. This comes from the concept, it was a great movie, Frank Sinatra, of men who in Korea were programmed, and one especially who was would be the son of a man running for the Senate and running for president eventually, was programmed to assassinate by a period of hypnotic induction while he was in North Korea. It showed that some Soviets and other experts in brainwashing became very eminent, very, very much discussed in the Korea. We hadn't really heard of that before. So the Manchurian candidate is a sleeper who is secreted in any organization but may act against. Now, this goes way back to the assassins at the time of the Crusades. They might be embedded in a royal court for 20 years before they assassinated that individual. So this is a great negative, glorious history. So the assassinations then seem very much to follow a system which was incorporated by occult secret societies in ancient times and is still being employed in many ways by hypnosis, by drugs, and so forth. Now, Sirhan insisted at the time that he was triggered by a girl in a polka dot dress.
Yes.
Now, this girl with the polka dot dress shows up from time to time in conspiracies. In the Manchurian candidate, it would be a woman wearing the Queen of Hearts as a costume, which would trigger him. And it turned out to be his own fiancée who was dressed in such a costume and triggered him to be the assassin. So all these trigger points, indoctrination. Then we have MK Ultra, which was formed by the CIA, which took the place of the OSS in World War II. The CIA used very skillfully a number of Nazi Gestapo agents who were brought back to help form the CIA. Growing from that is MK Ultra, which we know used LSD before anyone had heard of LSD. Mm-hmm. The Nazis had used LSD in the prison camps as an experiment. So you see, the Gestapo knew very well how LSD worked. And MK Ultra then, growing out of the CIA, was able to use drugs against citizens. There was one called Operation Night Watch, where they literally set up a brothel in a major American city. And then as the patrons or the Johns would come in to visit the ladies of the night, they would give them LSD and then they would watch with a two-way mirror how that would affect. Now, these people are coming in. We won't make a moral judgment about visiting a prostitute, but that's surely, you know, being fed LSD, some of them probably going out of their minds.
Right.
And we know that some agents who are working with LSD had it turned, putting in the punch and jumping out of a hotel window. So all of these things, you know, add to the whole concept of can assassination be controlled? Who's using it? Who did it? Is this the Illuminati and the society of secret bankers beginning in England and spreading throughout the world? Or does it originate in black dark forces in the United States? And I'm not saying black for Afro-American, but for secret black groups.
Right. Also, when you think about the technology, conspiring to keep certain technology secret, sometimes for very good reasons for national security. You think Area 51, although many people think that there are some other things there. And we had a lengthy show with Annie Jacobson about that on one of our programs, who wrote the Area 51 book, one of them, a couple of years back. But in terms of hidden technology, there's also these thought that maybe certain energy sources may be hidden from the public, certain medical cures may be hidden from the public. You know, you always hear the old saw, somebody says, well, they have the cure for, whoever they are, have the cure for cancer.
Right,
or they
right.
could make a car.
The ubiquitous they.
Yeah, or they could make a car that gets 200 miles per gallon if they wanted to.
Right.
How much work did you do on this kind of hidden technology?
Well, we did quite a bit. The hidden medical, that's Sherry's really concerned about that. So we have quite a lengthy section, and we've had many lengthy sessions in deriving the truth of this. I was called one time to by an executive at one of our major airlines to witness someone who was supposed to demonstrate this gasoline that could be made from water and a particular tablet which he had. Here again, I never quite discovered, you know, if this was a hoax or there was some truth in that. We also then have explored various medical cures. We feel that, you know, there is some truth. There's demonstration that some cures have worked and been kept. But by the same token, we become more concerned, I think, Jim, with the viruses that seem to be manufactured deliberately in laboratories.
Right.
And this feeds into the whole concept of the Illuminati or the New World Order wishing to decrease the world population. The evidence of AIDS, the evidence of bird flu. Now, we continually get people sending us information about how they are ramping up new bird flu virus that will be the deadliest, wipe out, will decimate, you know, the world population. And according to the conspiracy theorists, that's exactly what the Illuminati or whomever wishes to do, is decimate one-tenth, in other words, leave one-tenth of the population of the world. That's easier to control than 4 or 5 billion.
I want to ask you, while we still have some time left, because time goes so quickly when we talk with you, I really, honestly, you're one of my favorite guests by far. What are some of your, and I guess it's kind of an odd term to use, but what are some of your favorite conspiracy theories that you cover in this book?
I'm never good at favorites because they're all so fascinating to me. As I said, some have, well, Sherry, who sends her best, by the way, is telling me, don't forget HARP. No.
You know what? She HARP. Read my mind. I was thinking about asking you about HARP, and it slipped my mind. So
okay.
Thank you, Sherry.
Right. HARP may have been responsible for Fukushima. It may have been responsible for Katrina. Now, again, we have one of our dialogues with allegedly, and we, please understand, we're not saying this is actually a HAARP representative, but what HAARP, in their official word, says that they are simply in this remote outpost in Alaska.
Yes.
And it's sponsored primarily by the Navy, and they're conducting high-altitude weather and high-altitude experiments. Then there are those who say, and think of this, if one really could control the weather, I mean, what would that do in terms of warfare? Or what would that do in terms of dominance and ruling with an iron hand that everyone would fear? We're in the Midwest. We've had just an unusual number of tornadoes, again, wiping cities into small towns, not major cities, but in some cases a pretty large size city, into sticks and rubble. The power that's there, the power that could create and control a hurricane, the power that could make a tsunami. And again, there's those who claim they feel definite certainty that they are working on complete control. And they point to Fukushima and first of all, taking out the major part of the North Island, plus taking out the nuclear plants there and spreading radiation. Now, again, we have sources that tell us that within weeks, as far as Michigan and Ohio, we were detecting radiation from the nuclear plants in Fukushima. Now, here again, people will debate that, but there are enough people who are saying, and certainly now on the West Coast, they're going out every day with this incredible flotsam and jetsam that's coming from Japan all the way to our West Coast, and they have to go out every day with the Geiger counters to see how radioactive that is. So if all this is controlled, though they deny it, now we must say, they deny it vociferously that they have that ability or that they would ever use it. But we have this HAARP, HAARP, in Alaska that may be doing experiments which someone must be authorizing, but certainly no public declaration is made or admission.
Well, certainly, and I remember about 15 years ago, before you could turn on the internet and listen to any radio station in the world crystal clear, I used to be a little bit into shortwave, and
right.
There were magazines you could go buy because you couldn't look it up on the internet because the internet was just in its nascent days. But nevertheless, I remember reading an article with the title "Angels Don't Play This HAARP." And I
right,
think that's
right.
Very apt because it is very mysterious. And I think that a lot of times with experimentation, you can have the law of unintended consequences. Comes
Indeed.
To mind just recently, the government's efforts supposedly to unleash a computer virus to stop Iran from getting the bomb. Now, in and of itself, that sounds like a really good idea. Anything you can do to stop Iran from getting the bomb is a good thing. On the other hand, what if that virus gets out into the wild and you can't, just like a real virus, you can't necessarily contain it. And then people who are more nefarious and have less noble aims take it and they mutate it and they turn it back against us. It's very frightening when you play with these things, whether it be technology or nature, it can get out of control and all of a sudden the genie's out of the bottle and then what do you do?
Indeed. And as a conspiracy theorist would say, there are no unintended circumstances. There are no unintended barriers that are broken. They are very definitely broken on purpose to, you know, put the entire population that survives, the world population that survives, under their control. But we've noted also, and we have a great deal about the surveillance techniques that may be used and can be used and maybe are used against us now. The face recognition technology that are maybe in all the cameras you see at the red light, maybe all the cameras you see on the street corners, depending upon the city in which you live, face recognition. And, you know, it seems very nice to be able to inject your dog with a device that will be able to identify him and return him to you. And some people, they claim they have put it into their children, people of great wealth and political prominence. But what if everyone one day is forced to have such a device injected into them? And then with the drone flying overhead, we have now, we don't know how many drones. We get, again, information from people who say there are literally thousands of unauthorized drones, well, authorized by someone, but unknown or unidentified flying over. I mean, in that scenario, anyone. I mean, the old saying, you can run, but you can't hide. That would truly be true in that particular kind of world.
Well, I'm going to put one last thing out there before we put away our tinfoil hats for the night. Think about this. And I know many people have talked about this. Today, we have the phenomena of iPhones, iPad, Android phones, cell phones, all of these great devices, which I absolutely love. I'm a gadget hound and geek, and I'll admit it. But all of them have fabulous microphones on them and fabulous cameras. And if somebody in power wanted to somehow turn those microphones on or those cameras, they could get some fantastic surveillance and some fantastic intelligence on almost any member of society today, couldn't they?
Well, at least two school systems have been sued for loaning laptops to students and then surveilling those students and surveilling those homes. This is a reality now, and it can become a deeper and more frightening reality as time progresses. We don't know how many of our devices can do that to us at the present time. Everything now is being made so that it could be reversed upon the individual. And we have various, well, cell phones. People say, well, if I make it with my cell phone, well, we recount in the text how the cell phone can be used against this. And in some particular situations, technology is such that there's no way you can, the only thing you can do is smash it, you know, put it beneath your foot and smash it, because there's no way you can stop the surveillance. And of course, these have been given out free in various situations to see how wonderful it is, but they're testing the power of surveillance. We have some chapters I wish were conspiracy theory. I wish were tinfoil hat chapters. But these are the ones that we thoroughly document. And I suppose it's those kind of entries that we have in the book that, you know, give credence to the fact that there's always a story to be told. No conspiracy is without that germ of truth. And now those germs of truth have turned into a sweeping wave of illness, illness of surveillance. And how free can we be? We want to trust our government. But now the act that President Obama signed just at the very almost New Year's Day in 2011, it would appear that there is an open doorway to declare any citizen liable or eligible for surveillance and even arrest.
It is truly frightening. But one thing that is not frightening, it is a great thing, is this book, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier, the second edition by Brad and Sherry Steiger. And again, I'll say it one last time, if you are interested in this subject matter, you need to have this book, and we'll certainly have the links to jimherald.com. Brad, obviously, people can get this at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, find retailers everywhere, I assume?
Yes, and let me say, please, Jim, that within just a few days, we will have an app that we will keep up to date. It will have sections. We've already done the initial entries for it. We, as I said, Sherry and I received dozens of information from all over the world. I mean, we have correspondents in the Arab countries. We have all throughout Europe that send us this material. So we're going to have an app where everyone can keep up with this. And again, we're not alarmist. We don't have an agenda. We just want to get the facts out. So you'll be able to, not only with the book, but you'll be able to follow it through an app.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm certainly going to download that one for sure. And do you have a name for the app yet, or it's not? Is it just the same name as the
book? It will be Conspiracies and Secret Societies, same as the book. Yes, thank you for asking.
That's delightful. We're certainly put a link up to that as well. And this will be out. We're taping this on June 26th, and maybe a week or two until this is out. So hopefully by that time it'll be up and ready. But that's great. Fully marching into the new technology, and as we said, it has its drawbacks, but it can also be very empowering. So, Brad, what's next on the boards? I mean, I know you always have something going. I mean, this is just new out now, but what else can we look for in the next several
months? Come about Halloween, Jim, I'd love to talk to you about another second edition of Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, and Haunted Places. And the first one was so big that some people say they did arm curls with it. But this one will be even bigger. It'll have even more exciting photographs. It'll be just really, really proud of that, as I am of Conspiracies and Secret Societies. So it's so gratifying to authors to be able to get that cry for a second edition. So Real Ghost has been, a very good seller for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that the second edition, I didn't think, in my ego, I didn't think anyone could it could be surpassed from the first edition. But I have to say the second edition is even more gripping, spooky, eerie than the first edition. So let's talk about that about Halloween time when it will be out.
We will make a date and give them again your website so they can go and see everything that you're doing.
Okay, www.brad, B-R-A-D, and, spell out and, Sherry, Sherry.com. We also have a Facebook now, and we will soon have an app.
That's fantastic. Well, Brad, a pleasure as always. I look forward to our conversation around Halloween time, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
As well for me. Thank you, Jim.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this edition of the Paranormal Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will catch you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.